Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's say you've been traveling in a foreign country on a vacation. You're in a marketplace that's been set up for the day in the central square of the town that you've been touring, and all of a sudden you hear, "Behold, the King is coming." What would you expect to see? What would you be looking for? In Luxembourg, the royal family makes an annual journey along a particular parade route, and the people line up to sit or stand for hours, anxiously waiting for with great expectation and longing for a glimpse of the members of the royal family, hoping to show their respect with a bow or curtsy. And the closer the royals get, the more visibly and vocally excited the people become. Today, the church considers once again Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. The very creator of all that is, the omnipotent power of the universe, the one who was, is, and always will be, appears to triumphantly enter Jerusalem. And it's a journey that will end with the most glorious and honorable day on earth. And yet, that is not how it would appear to those who witness it. Our text reminds us that Jesus' entry is quite humble. He's mounted on a foal of a donkey. And the Lord inspired his prophet Zechariah to prophesy regarding this lowly and humble entry of our Savior so that no one would miss it. So that no one would misunderstand that the righteous one would come to be the unrighteous one. That the holy must become unholy to save mankind from sin. Fellow redeemed, the glory of God is demonstrated in Christ's humility and servitude, humbling himself to take upon himself the sins of the world, to suffer the eternal wrath of God that our sins deserve. Now that doesn't seem right, does it? Unbelievers, those living in darkness, look for the King of Kings to be different than he is, to do things different than he does, and they most certainly expect that following him should be different than it truly is. This fallen world, and if we're honest with ourselves, we must admit that even our own sinful flesh wrongly assumed that the Lord God, that the Creator of the universe, should always manifest himself in a majestic and glorious way. You see, sinners seek a popular Jesus, one who will attract more and more people to himself. They seek a Savior who will bring them happiness, maybe importance or success or prosperity in life. Yes, even you and I must confess that we have at times yearned for moments when Jesus would manifest his glory in a magnificent display so that the world would recognize him. I've heard such temptations described in the following manner. We lust for a Jesus who's wildly popular, who will build his kingdom here on earth so that his followers would be the ones with all the wealth, power, and numbers. We want a Lord whose word and authority are submitted to without question, without persecution, without rejection. Thus, when his redeemed experience rejection, when they share his word in all its truth and purity, when they are persecuted, they're tempted to think less of the one true God, or worse, to look elsewhere for a God to replace him. Now, for such thinking or temptation, we must humbly repent and cling all the more firmly to God's holy word of truth, which declares that Jesus, the lowly one, has called his redeemed to lowliness and repentance. For the true glory of God is revealed in suffering, especially the suffering and death of his only begotten Son. He inspired Isaiah to write, "He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him." Remember Jesus' words to his disciples in St. Matthew's Gospel, the 5th chapter? "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Now here's the tough part, I think. Jesus says, rejoice and be glad. Rejoice and be glad when you are reviled and persecuted and others say all kinds of evil against you on His account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now he gets to the purpose of our presence in this fallen world. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. And that light is a reflected light of Christ. So, fellow redeemed, when you are reviled in this fallen world, when you're reviled and persecuted for faithfully living out your life of faith in Christ, when you are hated and loathed because you submit to the authority of His unchanging Word and dare to share it with people, rejoice and be glad. Because in the midst of that suffering, God's glory is being revealed. Not witnessed by the fallen world normally, but it is a manifestation, if you will, or continuation of the suffering of Christ. That's the irony of the gospel. And such irony is indeed viewed as foolishness by those who are perishing in darkness and sin. It's only by faith that anyone is enabled to see and confess the truth that the glory of God which saves is by the innocent death of the promised Messiah. It is a theology of the cross and not a theology of glory. The true glory of God which saves us is hidden in the incarnation, life, suffering, and the endurance of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who willingly assumed the wrath of God in our place. And He endured all of that for our salvation. He didn't come to establish an earthly kingdom. That is not what the purpose of the church here on earth is for. He did not come to receive worldly honor and glory, but to do that which you cannot do. He came to endure what you could not endure. And again, it's foolish to think God gave up His holiness, power, and glory in exchange for the punishment that your sins deserve. However, it is in that suffering servant that you truly see the glory of God. Now, faith confesses the glory of God where He has taught us that He hides it. Our eyes do not behold His glory, but faith does. By His Word and sacraments, our Lord teaches us where to behold His glory. Zechariah was inspired by God to write that the Lord rules from sea to sea and from river to the ends of the earth. And yet, the ruler of the cosmos deigns to hide His glory as He enters Jerusalem humbly and lowly, riding on the foal of a donkey. And in the same way, His glorious and triumphant entry into your life is similarly hidden in the reality of your ordinary and daily calling. God has given you various callings and vocations in life. And your Christian vocation is to serve the Lord by serving your neighbor. In the calling of mother and father, you serve the Lord by loving and caring for those that He has entrusted into your care. And in such humble service, He hides His glory. So instead of entering Jerusalem in a golden chariot, He humbly enters mounted upon the foal of a donkey. And instead of sitting on a golden throne, He is humbly enthroned upon a wooden cross. For it is by His cross and by His suffering and death that He conquers sin, death and the devil. And it is there upon the cross, in the crucifixion of Christ Jesus, that God reveals Himself in His true glory most clearly. By His innocent suffering and death, by His sacrificial suffering and death, He offers Himself as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And in His action as that sacrificial lamb, He is vicariously atoning for or paying for your sins. By His cross, He accomplishes forgiveness. He accomplishes salvation for the sake of poor sinners like you and me. It is, as the psalmist was inspired to write, "Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie." Fellow redeemed through the glory of His cross, our Lord gives to us and teaches us so that we behold His glory in the hidden reality of our faith. And when we examine our lives through the lens of faith, we begin to behold the glory of God in the very midst of suffering, humility, in reverence. In other words, we can find and know of God only through the cross of the Lamb of God, where He offered Himself for the sins of the world. So we come to Him in faith and trust in Him for eternal life. And He who comes to save you will never forsake you nor abandon you. That is what will sustain you. That is why we will be able to rejoice in our suffering, all because of the promise of God, all because of what the Lamb of God has done for us. Believe it for Jesus' sake. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.